Blog Talk Radio.
In the beauty of holiness, we see you, Son of Righteousness. So we bring all that we possess to lay at your feet, in the place where your glory shines. Jesus, lover of all mankind, you have drawn us with love and light to make us complete. So I pause at your gate once more, and my heart and my spirit soar, and I wish I could love you more, my God and my King. Is there a tribute that I can bring? Was there ever a song to sing that could ever express my King? The work that you've done, could I ever conceive of it? All the depths and the heights and breadth of the riches I now possess, because of your love. So I pause at your gates once more, as my heart and my spirit soar, and now
Father, in Jesus' name we pray that you may bless this program. Come to guide us in all the truth, Father. Bless our guest, Brother Don, and use us to build your assembly, to fortify your strongholds, Father, and let your kingdom be built upon the truth, the real foundation that is the Word of God, Jesus the Christ. Let all your children that desire to love and walk in the truth be free to choose and can't be stopped from receiving your blessing that you have prepared. That's our desire, Father. That's what we wish with this program, that you bless us with the truth, with the guidance of your Holy Spirit, and your holy name be glorified in everything. We praise you, Father, for our gathering, for our brothers, for our guests, and we praise you because we know that you are faithful to answer more than what we request. Thank you, Father, in Jesus' name. Amen. Brothers and sisters, thank you again for joining another show to demolish the strongholds of the enemy of the faith, Yahushua, Jesus the Christ. We thank you for listening our archives. We thank you for being with us on this journey. I know that a lot of you are now working on their jobs, but I know that you come to hear the archives, and I thank you for your letters, for your answers, for contacting us, telling us that you are being blessed with this work, with all the things that we expose in attempting to improve your communion with the Holy Spirit without any obstacles. And this is exactly the purpose of this show. Today we have the blessing to have with us another warrior of the truth, another truth seeker, another warrior of God that will bring his blessings that the Father has given to him in exposing the mechanism of how much many souls are now being trapped on fake religious systems that replace the spirituality that Jesus the Christ wants to give to all of his children. We'll be dealing with modern deceptions, but as you know, there is nothing new really under the sun. And as we will we'll try to expose here, we will see that the things that happen to a lot of us and happened also in the times of the apostles, it happened also for the cornerstone of the project of God, Jesus the Christ. We will bring in lots of things, scriptures and examples for you to meditate that we hope that with this program, you will understand that if you pass through all these things, it's because you are not rejected by God. You may be rejected by a death system that is guided by dead people, but you as a gem, a precious stone of God, a living stone, your place is not to adorn that thing. Your place is on the New Jerusalem. Our God is God of the living one. So I hope that we can be instruments of the grace of God for you, to understand that you don't have reasons to be sad by being rejected by those that pretend that serve Jesus the Christ and only use souls of men to please the harlot church that is mounted on the beast. That is not your place. And even if you didn't understand yet, I hope that you will understand. So we'll be bringing some music. We have our guest already with us. And I know that God has a work tonight to do in your understanding. So rejoice, please pray for this show, because I believe that the enemy will try to stop the show, to stop you from hearing the scriptures, the examples. So please, if you are feeling that this is a show for you, that you need to understand the times of your life, just stay with us, join us on this battle. And I know that at the end, your time will be very, very rewarding for your faith. So I will bring our brother in a few minutes. Let's praise our God first, because without him, we cannot do nothing. It's him in us that he is already manifesting his kingdom inside of us. And that's why he doesn't want us amongst the death, adorning that thing, because we are precious stones, living stones of this building, spiritual building. Let's praise our God, and we'll be right back.
soará, o céu se abrirá, com os anjos ele vem. A igreja escolhida subirá, a ele entre as nuvens do céu ele vem. Aqueles que têm ouvidos para ouvir, ouçam o Espírito Santo de Deus dizendo, é certo, ele vem. Lava as tuas vestes no sangue do Cordeiro, prepara a tua vida, ele vem. Ele é Yeshua, Filho de Deus. Ele é Yeshua, Rei das Nações. Ele é Yeshua, by my side. We were
building kingdoms and chasing dreams and left love behind. I'm praying God will help our broken hearts align, and we won't give up the fight. It's gonna take much more than promises this time. Only God can change our mind. Maybe you and I were never meant to be complete. Could we just be broken together? If you can bring your shattered dreams and I'll bring mine, can healing still be spoken and said?
Yeah.
Okay, I think that we have already our brother online. Let me just check if it's everything okay. Hey, Brother Don, can you hear me? Brother Don, are you listening? Okay, seems that we have some problems. I can't hear you, brother. I hope that you can hear me. Just check what's happening here. Brother Don, can you hear me? Okay, can anybody, I think our brother has been disconnected. Can anybody on chat room just give me some feedback? Tell me if it's okay, my sound, if you can hear me. Well done, please try to call again. Something went wrong. Everything comes to normal. Okay, let's try again. Brother Don, can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you. Can you hear me?
Okay, cool.
All right.
Thanks, God.
Yes.
What's up?
Thanks, God. That was
okay,
quite
thank you,
a
brother.
Battle.
Yes. Well, nothing new under the sun. Well,
Amen.
Brother, thank you for joining us. I know that we have been talking a lot about the last days and weeks, and you have a lot of things to share, because I know that your experience with the Lord is vast. It's incredible, but also the fights are great. Big fight. But the reason that we are doing this show, as you know, is because God has been working by the Holy Spirit to build another kind of assembly. I don't call it church, because church is an English word, as I have already spoken a lot of times, that is not connected to the real meaning of assembly of believers. It does come from the same root in the original. It was ecclesia in Greek. I hope that you can hear me. Do you still hear me? Okay, our brother seems to be cut off. Hold on, brother. I will try to call to you. It's better to work like this. Or otherwise, we'll be cut off a lot of time here. I think it's better to work with you with your cell phone. Can manage to do on. Hello, can you hear me? Well done, can you hear me now? Well, I guess that your Skype is not working normally. You are losing. So I will call to your number. Just give me a minute. And we will talk on this way. Just don't worry. Let's try to do on another way. Just please give me just a minute. Here we go. I'm calling you now. Hope that you can hear me.
Hello.
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 Hi.
Brother Jose, how are you doing?
It's me. I'm fine.
Amen,
well,
amen.
We will have to do like this. We will have to do the show this way because the Skype is not, it's not working fitly. So let's do it this way. It's more secure. So I was telling that God is working to raise another kind of assembly on this day. God is making a separation between the fake Christianity and the real assembly of Jesus, the body, the spiritual body. And I know that will not be a lot of us that will have the courage to, at least for now, to come to the front line to uncover the real project of God, because there is a lot of our brothers that are still blinded, still in fear, in chains of fear, still accepting another rulers, another lords in their lives. But we will try with this show, because that's what we have been talking with this program, to awake those that are really feeling that is the time to come out of the graves. The graves that are adorned, are being adorned with the precious gems, precious stones, living stones that are the children of God. They know they are on the wrong place. They know they are being used to, apparently, to adorn something that is ugly, but they don't know where to go, how to live, and that's what we are going to try to help people here to make the good decision, to close all the doors and windows to deceptions, spiritual traps that continuously trying to enslave families, lives, minds, hearts, generations, on something that is not the Holy Spirit that is on the leadership. So, brother, please give us some of your thoughts about this and how God starts moving on this issue to you, into your family.
Amen. First, I'd just like to say thank you, and it's just an honor, and it's a privilege to be here with you, brother, on your show, ministering. Mm-hmm. I just want to say thank you for your show. It's just so awesome to see that there's a man out there fighting the good fight. Amen. Willing to say the truth, like you're saying, and it's just been such a tremendous blessing to myself. And thank you also for all the personal, encouragement that you've given me over the past few months. And I just want you to know what a blessing and truth has brought to my life and helping me also. Because, you know, when we're in these systems and sometimes we can feel like we're all alone, you know, even though God, mm-hmm. He begins to, we kind of begin to think that we're all alone in this battle, and sometimes it can truly feel that way. Amen. And so, mm-hmm. you know, when you were talking, one of the scriptures that kind of just came to mind was the scripture in Proverbs 21, where he says that the Lord says that he loves righteousness and justice more than a sacrifice. And when I think about right. my time that I spent in these systems, ensnared really in these systems of men, and you know, it was always a sacrifice, because they tell you, mm-hmm. you got to sacrifice. You know, this is serving the Lord. You know, and so, you know, this is one of the scriptures that the Lord began to bring out to me, early on, and is, well, early on in my awakening, I should say, when he began to pull me out from this this counterfeit system, really, is really right what it is, was he began to show me that he loved justice and righteousness more than he loved the sacrifice, and to seek him and his righteousness, and he would take care of the rest. Amen. Even though, you know, people around you might not understand. And this was really one of the ways that the Lord began to talk to me early on. And, you know, my testimony was, you know what I mean, as far as, like, from coming out of this system itself and just, you know, the things, the struggle while you're in it is, you know, I mean, I would go and I would, you know, try to talk to my pastors. And, you know, I mean, I was a leader in the church, you know, quote unquote. And, you know, was as big a part of the system, really, because these are the things that I was taught. And, you know, the Bible says that when the blind lead the blind, they fall into a ditch. And and when a teacher is trained like a disciple, he becomes just like him. You know, when he is fully trained by his teacher, he becomes. And I started to struggle with what I was reading in the scriptures and what was being taught and what I was seeing with my own eyes. And that was really the beginning of when the Lord began to just really sort of open my eyes. And it was really a painful time because, you know, I would, myself and my wife, we would try to go to our lead pastors, the leadership, the pastors there, and we would want to, you know, bring scriptures and have talks and discussions about these things. And they would just look at us like, what are you talking about? You know? And it was, nobody really wanted to talk about the Bible. Or say again?
Yes, I am reading. I am smiling about the reaction.
And this was something I started experiencing years ago. And you know, and then, you know, you go through the process of thinking, wow, I must really be off because they look at me weird and all this kind of thing. And what I come to realize is that they don't even know, you see, because their focus is on different things. But really the way I think I would like to bring out today, if you would allow me, is just something that the Lord really had kind of shown me. You know, a lot of times we look at these church systems and we look at the manipulation and control that is in the body today, and we look at the way the system is set up, and there's this elitist, and you know, I listen to Brother Danny's show too, and one of the things that I love that he likes to say is just because the pastor's not wearing a big Burger King hat doesn't mean that he doesn't think he's the Pope, and it's really true, because this is really the mentality, and you know, a lot of the shows that you've been doing recently on church history and these things really bring a more depth of understanding, and I just want to thank you for that, and I know it's blessing a lot of the brothers and sisters out there as well, to understand how deep this root really goes. But what we're looking at today is, you know, one of the things that the Lord began to show me. You know, it's like we look around and we see, you know, people that we see that are, seem to be, I mean, they're smart. They're not, people aren't dumb. And it seems to, it's kind of mind baffling. I mean, as far as, it's kind of baffling how the people are ensnared in these systems and these church systems and these systems in general, this counterfeit church, and they can't seem to break free. And I think the Lord wants to, what I want to try to do tonight with the help of the Holy Spirit, is expose one of the roots that the enemy uses to bring this into what we see today as really, it's really full blown, and the perversion and the level of perversion, and what I mean perversion of the ministry of the gospel of Jesus, has gotten so perverted that what we see today as the church, or what we call today the modern evangelical church, really looks nothing like the biblical model. And the Lord began to, go ahead.
I don't call this evangelical church. This is everything but evangelical. I call these evangelic canes. It comes from Cain. We will go deep on this, but just a few words. If you become smart than the priesthood and the hierarchy, they kill you like Cain. They simply kill you. It doesn't matter if you are a really believer in Christ. It doesn't matter if you are true, if you are sharing truth. You simply cannot go above in wisdom, and it's that spirit of Cain that takes possession on this system, because it's this spirit that is building this harlot systematic mammonic church circle. It's a circle. It is for clowns.
Amen.
You see? So, or you play the sad and happy clown role, or you are out. Of course, that this happened with you, this happened with me. It's happening with a lot of our brothers that come here to listen to this show, but they are already being pressured on their church because they cannot be there and listen to her, you see? So they are being divided. There are people that started walking with us and now they disappear because they are being pressured there and they are being put to the wall, against the ropes, you see, by these fake pastors that remain building their own kingdoms with the money and using Bible and with the sweat of the dumb sheep. So that we know that there will be only a remnant, but this comes from God. This comes from God. Of course, if we persist and God will bless us all in 1-2 years from now on, you will have these guys here again telling us they should be read, they should not go away from here because they will reap what they sow. But we are here waiting for them. We are here waiting for them. You see? Because
amen.
What happened to us, brother? What happened to us, and what you are going to explain that happened also in the time of Jesus? It happened to Jesus. That's what this scripture that I put on the chat room says clearly. So, elected by God, that the builders rejected. And why did they reject? Because they didn't want anyone to rule over them. They want to make the rules. They just pretend to serve Yahushua, the God of Israel. They just pretend. They just use God, but they change everything they need to change to transfer the power to them. That's what is happening now. When Jesus was on the temple, when Mary and Joseph went looking for Jesus, they removed this from the Greek translation. You will not read this, what I'm going to share here, on the Greek translation that we have in our Bible now, because they removed. But because what was really happening there, and this is on the original Gospel to the Hebrews that I already share a link here in English for you to for those who come with us, they know where to look for it to read completely. But what the little Jesus with 12 years old was doing there, he said to Mary, "I am taking care of business of my father." And he was challenging those rabbis that were talking about the Talmud, were changing the Torah, were mixing Torah with the Talmud. And when they when Jesus saw this, he was there, he stayed there, he didn't went to the with the multitude to the feast. He stayed there because he felt the urgency. He felt the urgency to put the things in order, because people were being deceived in the temple. And when the rabbis start seeing the wisdom of the little Jesus, they start using the same scheme that we felt in these temples. They start saying, don't you know that if you are trying to be smarter than your rabbis, if you start challenging them, you are going to death, you are under a penalty of death. And Jesus used the scriptures to rebuke them. Of course, they removed this from the Gospel of Matthew, but you can find it in the original Gospel of the Hebrews. Jesus used the episode of Moses and Jethro on the desert, when Moses, being the biggest prophet for the Jewish people, received an advice and accept the advice of his father-in-law, Jethro, because he couldn't handle to judge all the people. So he accepted the help of his father-in-law. So when you go to these guys and tell them, and with your heart, with a generous heart to help them, to stay on the right path, they rebuke you, they reject you, as they reject Jesus Christ. That's why he is the cornerstone, was rejecting one to share the power. So, but we will go deep this. Please go on. Okay. You are not online. Hold on. Okay, I can hear you. Are you on the phone or on Skype? Okay, let me see if I have you again on my board. I am seeing you here. Okay.
Hello. You are
unmuted. Can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes, can you hear me?
Okay, yes, that's much better.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay,
I'll go ahead and hang up the phone call. Okay. Amen.
Okay.
Yes, so, brother, that's all that
I don't know
stuff
if you heard what I said.
Yes.
If you heard, okay.
Yeah, absolutely, and what you're talking about is absolutely true, and I think this is really, you know, the thing is that we, in order... It's just how the prosperity gospel was allowed to basically, you know, was they allowed to take root. I mean, there is a weakness or a place that the enemy uses to expose within the body, and the prosperity gospel, this abomination that they call the prosperity gospel, it really feeds off of people's greed. In the same way, these mechanisms of control in the system, they have a root as well. And I want to kind of bring out the scripture here, because the scripture, I started to really ponder the scripture in Mark, 1 Mark 16, where he says, now as he walked by the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishers. And Jesus said unto them, come ye after me, and I will make you to become fishers of men. And straightway they forsook their nets and followed him. That always sort of baffled. I mean, it's very easy to say, well, they did that because it was Jesus, brother. Yes, that is true. And you know, the Bible doesn't really expound to much more upon that actual scene there, other than what we have in the scriptures itself. And then when we continue to read, it says, and when he had gone a little further, thence he saw James, the son of Zebedee, and John, his brother, who all were in the ship mending their nets. And straightway he called to them, and they left their father Zebedee in the ship with the hired servants, and went after him. And I always thought, wow, this is because when we look at different stories, we see different people encountering the Lord. And yes, the Lord was anointed with the Holy Spirit, and he is the Son of Man, Son of God, fully man, fully God in the flesh. And there had to have been a holy presence around him. But apparently not everybody, that was not enough for everybody. And why was it enough for these guys? Well, I think when we understand, I read this about the process of becoming a rabbi. And I think it kind of shines a light on what we see actually taking place here. Because when we find out about the process of becoming a rabbi, we find out that at the age of five, all the boys in Israel, at least most of them, a very large percentage of them, were sent to learn the Torah. And they were sent to learn the Torah word for word, and they had to memorize them. Now, on the first day when they met with the rabbis, when they were 5 years old, the rabbis actually poured honey onto their little writing chalkboards or mechanisms that they had, and they told the students, lick it up. And, of course, these kids, they licked it up because it was honey, and this is a very special treat. The word of God be as sweet to your lips as that honey was. Mm-hmm. And I think this is actually, when we take that, even that part right there, I want to sit on that just for a second and say one of the things that absolutely amazes me, and that's an epidemic, really, in the body right now, and especially those that are in these church systems and in these churches led by these men, is that when you talk to most of them, even in brothers and sisters that have been there for 5-10 years, they don't know the Bible. You can bring up different parts of Scripture and concepts and doctrinal statements and based on scriptural things that are really still that they should have a clear grasp over, and they don't. And even furthermore, most people I see that are going into these places, going into these churches, they don't even bring a Bible with them, and the pastors don't encourage it. Are you still there? Hello? Hello? Oh, Lord. Hello? Can anybody hear me? I can't believe this. Oh, boy. In the name of Jesus. Can you hear me? Hello.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Hello. I was cut
yeah.
here. Yes.
Okay.
It was not you. It was me here now. It was my flesh that went down. So please go on where we... We were left off. We were talking
okay,
about
I'm not sure
the,
where I left
the honey.
Off. Oh, yes,
we were
the honey.
Talking about the young... Yes.
Okay, so yes, and so what, they're just the rabbis would tell them, may the word of God be as sweet to your lips as is honey. And what I was saying is that this is an epidemic in the body, and especially what I witness in the churches where people have attended these churches for several years, and they still do not have a basic grasp of the word.
Yes, you were saying that they don't know the Bible, and I say even further, they don't know the Bible and they don't know Jesus.
That's absolutely right, and you know that's funny that you said that, because it was actually a challenge that I challenged somebody recently. It's how do you know what you're being taught? How can you discern from truth or error if you don't even know what the Bible says? And how can you say that you know the Lord when you don't know the very thing that we have that points to Him? So it's an epidemic, but that's at 5 years old, and then 10 years old. By that time, there's a group of boys, and they have some of the rabbis will isolate certain boys and say and bring them to the next level. And at that age of 10, they're expected to begin having a conversation about the Word of God. They have to be able to or about the scriptures, the Torah rather, which is I don't want to split hairs, but anyhow, they begin to have conversations and can have some sort of intelligent conversations with the rabbis about the Torah itself. And at that point, there's a group of the boys that are asked to go home, and they tell them, this is not for you. Go back to your families. Go back and learn what your dad does. Learn what your father does. If your father's a carpenter, well, then go back to learning how to do a carpentry, because you're not going to be a rabbi. And so they take these group of boys, and probably there's probably politics then. Like I'm sure there was, just like there is now. We read even about it in the scriptures, that the selection of these boys may have been based on alliances and many different things. We don't know, but we just know how religious systems work. And it seems to be even this is what we see in churches. We see alliances at very high levels, even families intermarrying with each other. Pastors and heads of fellowships have their daughters marrying their sons. And it's the same sort of thing that we even see in the Masonic realm. It's really the same sort of thing that we see at these high levels. And so it really, you need to take note of that and wonder why it's, and these people will never relinquish control. And you also touched on this. And so at 10 years old, they're expected to be able to have this conversation. And here we have the picture of Jesus in the temple, what you just brought up, which was great because, there he is in the temple and he's expounding and it's the rabbis just can't believe how much knowledge of the scripture he has. That's basically what the scripture tells us, that they were just astonished at the level of knowledge that this young man had of the scriptures. And I bet you he was bringing forth truths that they had never even seen before. And this terrified them go ahead.
Basic Jesus was exposing the manipulations of the Torah that they were producing. You see, and when they saw that they were caught in the wisdom of that young children, they start threatening with death. Okay? Don't you know that if you try to shame your master, you are under a penalty of death using the Torah, you see? And Jesus defended himself with the Torah. I'm not ashamed. I'm just preaching the Torah. Even Moses, and he uses the figure of Moses, because Moses was considered the biggest reference in Jewish, right? So even Moses need help of somebody to work, to do the work of God. So what he was trying to do, it was to bring back the purity of the message of the Torah. But fortunately, their parents appeared and removed the young Jesus from the temple. Otherwise, probably they would do something bad against Jesus, you see? Because they knew that he was a threat. And it's the same reaction you get any time you start questioning the real Bible, the real message of the Bible, with the fake gospels that these guys are constructing on their pyramid. Everything is plastic. The marriages are plastic. The friendships are plastic. They use, and when you don't have anything more to give, they throw you up. They substitute you. You see the problem? And what amazes me more is that persons that have already proven this, and when they are attacked, challenged by these demonic figures, disguised as servant of light, they choose to stay there because they are afraid. When God is opening doors, God is building a group of people that doesn't have afraid even of the death, but that prefer to be and live free with Jesus in their front, guiding their way. And these guys go back to Babylon, go back to Egypt. You know why? Because they don't feel that Jesus is enough. But we will go there. That's why Peter, that's why the apostles, they act differently from the rich guy. They act different from the other one. They left everything because, as you are going to say, there is a secret there. So please go on.
Amen. It's interesting that you brought up the Egypt aspect because, you know, when Israel went into the desert, you know, one of the things that they brought with them was the cattle, all the cattle and all the gold. Yet, what was the gold worth when they had nothing to eat in the desert? What did they do with it? They erected an idol. That's what they used the gold for.
Right.
But yet, the people will preach these kind of things and say, yeah, they left Egypt with all the money, all the riches. But look at what they did with it, because there was naturally no use for the gold in the desert, because the desert is where he wanted to remove that slave mentality and that Egyptian mindset. And so that's really kind of interesting. But I'll go ahead and keep moving on with, you know, as the process moves forward, just like you said, you know, I mean, there's Jesus, you know, riling up the religious spirits, basically challenging them and all their mechanisms of control, really, and how they controlled people. Because at that point in time, the Pharisees and the Sadducees had become so corrupted that he actually referred to them as the synagogue of Satan. They're den of vipers. That they actually were the children of their father was Satan himself, and so this is how far it had gone. So as this process of becoming a rabbi goes on, at the age of 14 or 15, there's yet another refining, so to speak, whittling down or refining and asking more boys to leave and selecting just the elite few at the age of 14 and 15. And this is when they were actually chosen to follow a rabbi. So no longer was it sort of a classroom. Now it was more of an active discipleship, let's just say, where you were actually one-on-one with the rabbi. And again, you're creating this elitism, right? And this is the same thing we see in the church today. You know, you see many people that seem to get, you know, this is the system of promotion, reward, and discipline. You get promotion if you're a good, if you don't question anything and you just go along with the program. You get promoted, but really you're just a hamster running in a wheel. and you get, and basically you just get a bigger hamster wheel. that's the, what it feels like. You know, you're still running around in circles, and there's really, there's no freedom, because you're still in, you're in a cage, and you're in a cage that's created by a man. And he's going to decide, what to feed you, when to feed you, and how much water to give you. And this is exactly what happens. And those that get punished, they get withdrawn from fellowship. They turn their brothers against their brothers and their sisters against their sisters, and they withdraw fellowship from you. And because you come out and you just want the truth, you're just seeking the truth, and your heart's in the right place to expose the works of darkness. And these men, they don't want to hear that, just like the rabbis in the synagogue didn't want to hear Jesus. And it's not because, you know, I'm so holy or you're so holy or anything like that, but it's when you seek the truth, you know, this is, you know, this is going to set you free, you know. And it's when you seek the truth, it will set you free. It's right there in the scripture, and it's true. And so we see at age 14, 15, these elite group of guys that are now following the rabbis around closely wherever they go. And the rabbi really gets to program them, so to speak, and they get to spend close time with them, and so much so that when they go home or when they come back into town, a lot of times their clothes would have dirt or dust on the front of their clothes, because they were so close, they were following these rabbis so closely that they were kicking up their dust onto their clothes. And the people would say, look at him. He's been with the rabbi, because they could see the dust all over the clothes. And you got to wonder, when we're in these systems and, you know, we're yearning, these systems, what they do is they create, it really creates a pastor worship. This is what I've seen, where people just long for the attention of the pastor. They want the validation of the pastor. They want the pastor's attention. They want to have the dust from the pastor shoes on their clothes, because this, they think that this makes them important, and this is what gives them validation, when all along the Lord has said, you know, seek him, you know, seek the Lord, seek the kingdom of God, and all things be added, and to seek the Lord, and you know, that he is our Father, and the Bible actually goes so far that even Jesus himself said, don't call anybody rabbi or father, for your Father's in heaven. And so when we see these systems, we see how perverted they really become, because people are yearning for these men's attention, and it really has been created. But there's a root there that allows this thing to happen, and what the Lord has really shown me is that the root that really allows this to happen within the body is the root of rejection. I don't know about I can't speak about what's going on in Portugal. I can't speak about what's going on in Brazil or many other places of the world. However, it's just like you said in the beginning of the show, brother, the things that my story sounds familiar to you, it's because it's the same spirit working here. It's the same spirit that's working in these counterfeit systems, and it's the same spirit that we fight, which is really, it's demonic. And you know, the Bible says, know that your brother, he goes through the same thing as you on the other side of the world. Amen? And this trial was not unique. Yes.
Let me try to give you some light.
Amen.
Let me try to give you some light about what's happening here, not only here, but in the South America realm of the gospel, of the Christianity. The thing is so bad that I saw churches dividing husband with wife, sons with fathers,
mm-hmm.
brother against brother being divided, starting in the same church, and that mechanism of rewarding, bringing war to a family, because the pastor choose one and reject another, the pastor start giving more orders to the woman than her own husband. And if the husband says something and goes to with the Bible to confront the pastor, the wife stays on the side of the pastor. or on the leadership of the church and start wanting to divorce with her husband. I saw this on the church that I was trying to work to God. I saw this, I lost the count of troubles that were coming to houses of believers. They enter on the church with an open heart, with a heart to seek, to serve Jesus, and end in solitude, end with their lives broken, and a lot of them taking pills to sleep, like zombies, because these reptiles, these guys that servants of Christ, these mammon lovers, they divide to conquer. My own wife, the former pastor where the church she was, she saw that pastor saying to a sister, on the house of the sister, when she was saying to the pastor that her husband was not enjoying the reunions they were doing there, and that pastor had the courage to say to the sister, and who is in charge here in house, God or your husband? Do you think that a real pastor from God would do this, would have this in the house of the sister? So the temple has how they use the Bible according to their own interest. Sometimes when the Bible helps them and their authority, the Bible. Sometimes when the Bible contradicts and shows how abusive they are, they just do to you and to me what they did to Jesus. Don't you know that you are a rebel? Don't you know that you are under a penalty because you are trying to be bigger than your master? It's the same spirit, the Canaanite spirit. This systematic church, this institution, everything that goes further than a family or a group of families under the same authority of the Holy Spirit is demonic. Everything that puts another name above the name of Yahushua, Jesus the Christ, demonic. It comes from the Antichrist. Everything that mixes mammon and money control, the message comes from Constantine, comes from Roman, comes from the first corruptive method. And this is what we are fighting. We have a lot of people that was walking with us here, coming to the chat room. And now they are not coming because it is too much to them. They are too affrighted. The demons, the religious spirits, are fighting against their freedom and they are going down again. You see, they can handle message like Danny that preached the real kingdom of God. When Danny puts the kingdom of God above the Constitution of the United States, they go back. They believe the demons saying that Danny is not a patriot. You know why? Because they don't know the message of the kingdom of God. Because they want a message to live here. They don't want to be pilgrim.
Amen. And that really goes,
you.
Yeah, that really, what you were just talking about really is a symptom of, it just shows you the high level of the infiltration at the highest levels in the churches that have been, that are teaching people these kind of things as you know, this patriotism and these things like Danny is talking about, which is if you belong to the kingdom of God, you have, you know, give to Caesar what is Caesar's, you know? We're not supposed to be worrying about this kind of stuff, you know? And back to, you know, and the root of this whole thing that I believe is like, you know, because I was just like everybody else. I was in the system and I struggled and it was very painful and you know the things that you describe about the division that they create in a marriage and a household with brother against man against wife, these are the same. This is the same spirit. So this just shows that it's happening all over the place, and this is a spiritual thing. This is not a problem with one denomination or one. One particular group of people. This is a problem as a whole, and it's really the spirit that's infiltrated the church through compromise, really, and it's through the compromise of mammon. But as far as this root goes, I believe that this root, the reason why this is able to really, and I believe that when people can really, as myself, when I really began to examine my own heart, when I began to examine my own hurts, the things that the Lord needed to uproot since I was a child, I began to see that this picture of what we saw of the disciples on the beach who the Bible says they threw down their nets and they just followed Jesus. And really, I believe, you know, here was Peter and Simon and Andrew and John on the beach, and you know these guys didn't make the cut. You know, these guys weren't accepted by the religious men. But, you know, this is exactly who Jesus came to. This is exactly who Jesus chose.
Right.
These are the men that Jesus chose. He didn't go into the synagogues and find the best students. He didn't find the ones that knew how to act like a rabbi and knew how to talk like a rabbi and knew all the ins and outs of the religious system. No, he went to some fishermen on the beach, the ones that were the very ones who men had rejected. And I want to tell people because, you know, we've all suffered a rejection at one level. But, you know, the Lord says that he came, you know, in Isaiah 61, you know, that he says that because he has anointed me to proclaim the good news to the poor, he has sent me to proclaim freedom to the prisoners and recovery of the sight of the blind, to set the captives free. And this is really
right.
This is really what he's doing. Is these guys were rejected by men in religious systems, and we see this now where, you know, Jesus says, "Rejoice when they say evil things of you in my name." You know, they accuse the Lord of being a devil too, and this is exactly what these men do when you begin to expose the things that they're doing in the spirit, because they're unwilling to repent and they're unwilling to relinquish their power, because that's really what they're after is power and money and control, and it's become about them and it's not no longer about the kingdom. And really, what happens is they prey off the rejection in the body. They prey off the rejection that is really rampant in society right now, because we have many generations, not just one or two. Now we have several generations, and I can speak to you, you know, from where I am in California, in the United States, that there is generation of generation of broken men who grew up in divorced homes, who never knew what it was like to have let alone a godly father and a godly mother, but have both parents living in the house. To have any sort of a unity, so they experience this rejection. Maybe they grew up with alcoholism, or they grew up with drug addiction in their home, and maybe there was abuse and all these things. And the enemy has used this, just like he used, I'm sure, just like how that the men, the disciples Simon and Andrew, probably had felt casting their nets into the sea one more time, another day, you know, and they probably thought, you know. I'm sure that they saw these other men that they knew as boys walk by, and they were rabbis, and they probably think, look at me, I'm a failure, I'm in the boat, but look at who Jesus came to. He came to these men. He said, I'm not looking for religious men, I'm just looking for men who will follow me. I'm looking for men who have who I knew your heart when you were a boy. I knew that all you wanted to do was serve God. And you know what? I preserved you from this religious system. I've taken you out of this religious system in order that you may follow me and that I may actually use you for the kingdom of God for my glory. And when we these are the exact men. Amen. And I believe that this is what the Lord is doing right now with the remnant, with the ones that he's calling out. And you know, we must continue to pray for those that we know that are still ensnared in this system, because they're blinded by spiritual deception. They're entrapped. They're ensnared by these systems because the enemy is using that seed of rejection in their lives to want to be validated in these, you know, with this fellowship. If I leave or if I speak up, I'm going to lose fellowship. I don't want to lose that. Right. I don't want to pay that cost. I don't want to have to lose my friends and to have people say bad things about me if I challenge what's being taught. You know, and that's provided that they're actually, you know, they're seeking the truth and the word, and they're not just sitting like a bunch of zombies, like you said. You know, looking at the screen, okay, pastor, and they, you know, he puts the scripture up there totally out of context, twisted around. And then what you have is people, they have no discernment whatsoever because they're just believing everything that they hear, you know. But these men wouldn't be able to, you know, I believe that the root is really rejection. And for those that are of us that are in Christ, we're not rejected. We don't, you know, like Paul said, he said, follow me as I follow Christ. What he didn't mean was he didn't mean follow me literally. He said, I'm following Christ. I'm following the Lord. I'm following Jesus. I'm following the one true Lord, the true rabbi, the rabbi of rabbis, Jesus of Nazareth. I'm following him. You follow him as I am following him. You don't follow. He's not saying, come follow me and I'm going to tell you everything, every step to do and everything to do and what not to do and when to be here and all this other stuff. You follow the Lord. You seek the Lord as I am seeking the Lord. As you see me seeking the Lord fervently, as you see me seeking the truth, and as you see me seeking his face and seeking his presence and all these things, you follow the Lord. You seek to do the will of the kingdom. You seek these things.
That's another major manipulation of the scripture they use, saying that people should follow them because Paul was saying to the Christians to follow him, but it was not what Paul was saying. Paul was saying, follow me as I am following Christ. So do what I am doing. Follow Jesus Christ.
Yes.
Give him the honor to be your master. So imitate me because I am following Christ. But they twist the scriptures and center themselves and replace Paul and Jesus, because now it's the church age. It's not Jesus' age. It's the church age. You know what? These guys are not honest. And even now, these new paradigms of truth that speak against the old paradigms of truth that were not of truth but of lies, they are more bold against abortion, against gay marriage. Touch in Mammon and you see if they are honest. And I am speaking to you guys that are called watchmen, and speak against Obama, and speak against them, but you are not two balls in your legs to talk about the tithing deception, the Christian tithing deception that feed you and your sons with the sweat of the sheep. Yes, you that are called pastors and watchmen, but you are nothing but the same cowards that you are fighting or pretending to fight. Otherwise, you will not receive any from your show, and you will not this caravan that goes down, stopping in help stations. Yes, it is for you that they are called watchmen and pastors that say that your ministry is completely free from of Obama and the law of Obama, but on your web page you two donations, one for gifts and the other for lightings. You're a crap. You're a liar. You're not, you are so rich gay man. Only one face, but you don't have a face. You hide behind men. You send others to do the dirty job for you. You are nothing. Me face to face. You put me face to face with you, your pastors, Titans, Christians, Mammon lovers, and let's see. It's the truth in the
world. Hey, man, I'm kind of cutting in and out a little bit here. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Hey, man, it's true, and that's even you know, what you're talking about there. That's even a higher level of deception in my mind. It's these guys, like you said, these guys are even more dangerous. And you know, that's the thing is, I think you talked about that one time, is like, you know, as you got into the back room, so to speak, this is when you begin to see what these men were really about. You know, that's really what happened with us. You know, the Lord had given my wife and I, I think it was from Ezekiel, when we were still sort of, you know, we were still involved in you know, in the church, and especially, you know, in a leadership position, and the Lord would tell us, you will see abominations. As you go, I forget the scripture, I think it's in Ezekiel, it says that the inner rooms, you will see more abominations on abominations. The abominations get worse, and that's exactly what happened. You know, behind closed doors, you know, I would hear him say, basically, you know, the guy that was the lead pastor, and, you know, this show, I'm not going to address people necessarily by name. There'll be a time and a place for that, but because I think that's a bigger show. But and I really don't like to use the word show, brother, because this isn't really a show, because I think of show as entertainment. This is really a ministry on the internet. It's a fellowship, mm-hmm. and you know, we're all equals, amen. And so, but I would hear these guys say things. You know, I'd hear this pastor say things when people would say, what if so-and-so leaves? And he would say, that's not my problem. And they would, and they'd say, like, backslides. That's not my problem. You call yourself a shepherd, but you don't care about people's about their walk with the Lord and their you know, whether they're safe, whether they're going and they're backsliding. That's not a shepherd's heart. And what I see is most of these men are really these guys that call themselves pastors. They're not shepherds. They're imposters, because they're only in it for their own egos, and they control people, and they play off people's rejection, and they feed off of this. This is how the spirit feeds off of this. And so, you know, I mean,
You take the example of Paul. You take the example of Paul. Paul was taken from his family to go learn the Torah and the Talmud with the highest priest in Israel, in Jerusalem, Gamaliel.
Yes.
You see, what we are fighting here is sons and grandsons of these systematic reptiles, that everything was offered to them through this denominational heritage to reproduce the deceptions that come from centuries. What we are fighting is generations of liars that think they are the priests of the Christians. You see, that's what we are fighting, the new magi, the new priesthood, those that are the new bridges between Christ and the rest of the believers. And Paul thought, because he was taught, he was following Gamaliel, he was doing the right thing, you see. He was killing their own brothers, his own brothers in the faith. And he didn't knew, but he knew the Bible. He thought he was following the Bible. So he killed. He killed and killed and killed. Until one day, he started new in Christ. And these guys that are living with the money of others, these guys that pretend they are serving Christ, that are only using Christ, and they are serving mammon, one day they will know Christ. But not no more the lamb, but the lion. And guess who will be the prey? You know, Brother Dan, these chameleons that you are fighting there, that start with humbleness and now are becoming more sons of devil than those they flee from. And now they are attacking you and your family. Do you know what they are doing? They are preparing the grave for their children. Because our God is a good, it's a merciful one. But it's a fair one. It's a just one. I have seen leaderships, entire leaderships of churches on trials, sons of pastors hanging themselves because they can't handle the shame, daughters of pastors making abortions, getting diseased for all the rest of life just because they can't handle the shame. And that's what Jesus said, your sons will show your wisdom. When we say this to these guys, they think that we are attacking them. And they start attacking us. But you know what? I just cleaned my feet. I exposed Paul Beagle. I exposed Michael around the world. I will expose another serpent that is over there in that group, pretending that he's a pastor. But there's a lot of pet skeletons in the closet about money that walks with Steve Quayle. And that guy is a serpent because he speaks against abortion. He speaks against gay marriage. But when you touch him, tighten.
So there's a lot of tradition about tighten.
That's all you get from his Bible. And that...
Uh-oh. I may have lost... I can't hear anything. Hello?
Okay, I'm sorry. I guess the family of this guy doesn't like to talk about this. You still there?
Yeah, I'm here. Can you hear me?
So I challenge this reptile. He likes to walk among the Eggmans and Steve Quayle to direct their spirituality. They all fight against fallen angels. But you touch the ruler of the fallen angels. You're touching Mammon. You touch on that mechanism of corruption that you are speaking now, the root of all evil on the gospel. And you just see,
there is a tradition about fighting the non-Christian.
Which tradition? You tell me which church fathers. You tell me which apostle charged tithing. You tell me which Christ charged tithings to other brothers. Go, take it from here, because I reach who I want to reach tonight.
Hey man, you're doing great. And it's true, because you know, I mean, these guys are just greedy. I mean, once you really understand, you know, when you begin to study tithings and you understand that this is just a flat out lie, that we're never.
It's the root of all evil. It started with Constantine. It started with Simon the Magus, who want to buy the power of the Holy Spirit. It started with Ananias and Sapphira, and we have the same spirit operating on these reptiles with holy ties, pretending they are serving Christ. Okay?
Amen.
And these watchmen that are trying to free so much people, are they blinded? Where is the courage of the Eggmans? Where is the courage of Steve Quayle? I am challenging you. Why did you reject Brother Danny now? Please go on.
Well, I'm just reading John 10:12 here. It says, the hired man, since he is not the shepherd and the sheep do not belong to him, abandons the sheep and runs away as soon as he sees a wolf coming, and then the wolf attacks and scatters the sheep. And Jeremiah 8:10-12 says, from the least to the greatest, all are greedy for gain. Prophet and priest alike.
Right.
All practice deceit. They dress the wound of my people as though it were not serious. You know, this is true because, you know, they're not really dealing with sin. They don't want to actually address sin in the church and the body, because they want to keep the money, keep going. They don't want to actually preach the truth, because then people might not like to hear what they have to say. You know, when the Lord tells them that they got to repent, they have to change their ways, that they shouldn't be like the world. You know, it goes on here, it says, peace, peace, they say, when there is no peace. Are they ashamed of their lonesome conduct? No. No, they're not ashamed of their lonesome conduct. They have no shame at all, it says. They do not even know how to blush. There's no shame.
Of course not.
No shame whatsoever. And, you know, like you said, I mean, they're – it breaks my heart, to be honest with you, to number one, that to see, you know, I mean, see men that, you know, maybe not all these men have started out this way, but at some point, that lure of Satan, which is money, gets a hold of them,
right.
And they begin to justify that, you know, and this is where this comes. I'm the called one. I'm God's anointed. How dare you say anything to God's anointed? Don't you touch God's anointed. Well, God's anointed is Jesus.
Right.
Amen. And we're all
and they like to tremble their voice. Don't you try to touch the anointed one?
Yeah.
To try to shake the hair like God, you see? They pretend to be God and they can shake. But the only thing they are shaking is the wallet of the dumbest ones, the stupid ones.
And they're going
around shaking.
That's
go,
right.
Go, go, go.
No, I'm just saying that, and they go around preaching this message, peace, peace, everything's well, it is, all is well. all is well, my brother, all is well. And they take these stories and they right. miss the complete point of Elijah and the widow and coming to the servant. And when the servant asked her, you know, all is well. And she said, how are you, okay, everything at your house, all is well. But, you know, they always stop there. They say, oh, well, all is well. Just, you know, everything's going to be great. You're never going to go through any tribulation. You know, Jesus wants you to be rich and all these things. And they're not equipping the saints.
Right.
They're not equipping the saints for what's to come. They're going to be caught off guard with this fake gospel, and they're being led astray. And I'm not one to say, you know, whether somebody's saved or not, because the Bible really doesn't tell us to look and see if somebody is saved. But what it does is say, look at the fruit. So I'm a fruit inspector, and I want to look at fruit. And if the fruit's bad, the whole
right.
tree is bad.
Yeah.
Yeah. And that's the thing. And if and any brothers and sisters that are out there, you know, if you're hearing these stories too, and it just like you mentioned, you know, about some of these stories and things that you're hearing, you know, if you're hearing these things and it sound familiar, the chances are that you're in a corrupt ministry, you're in a corrupt situation, and you need to decide if you're going to follow Jesus or if you're going to follow man. You're going to have to come down to that,
yeah.
and it's going to be a process. And you brought up Saul, brother. You brought up Paul when he was persecuting the Christians and killing for the name of God, and he was doing what he thought was right. And then he had that encounter with Jesus, and Jesus said, Paul, Saul, Saul, you know, who was it that you persecute? You know, and it's me. Jesus said, you're persecuting me. You know, what are you doing? Who, you know, and he revealed who he was to. And then when we read the scripture, we find out that Saul, after that encounter, he spent 3 years in the desert. He spent 3 years in the
right.
desert. And what was going on? You know, when we look at Saul and we look at this man who was basically groomed in the religious system, he was handpicked, like you said. He was picked and groomed and lifted up and brought to the inner circle and became somebody important. And then he's brought out to the desert after he has this encounter with Jesus. And what ends up happening is he has to be deprogrammed by the Holy Spirit. You know, sometimes we have
right.
to go through we have to have that religious system deprogrammed out of us so that we can begin to walk out the true gospel. And I'll tell you something, friends, when you begin to walk out the true gospel, that's where the freedom is. When you begin to walk with the Lord
right.
and know that the Lord, you know, is not like these men who put heavy yokes and burdens upon you that they themselves are not willing to carry. They themselves are not willing to do these things that they tell you to do.
Right.
They themselves are not tithing. They themselves are – they're the ones taking the tithe. They're not tithing. They're taking the tithe.
Right.
They're not doing any of this stuff. How many times do you see their children or these people go up there with a tithe envelope? They don't do it, but no, but you know, they tell you to leave your children at home and be here and serve me. This is serving the Lord. And then it begins the system of rejection, because your children, you're not spending the time to pour into your own children and to bring up your own children with the you know, to be the true head of the house over your wife and over your children as a man. We love our wives as Christ loves the church, not to be a dominator. Amen. But in the true function of the body, to raise up your child in the ways of the Lord, and they will never depart. This is what the scripture says. And you know, they want to rip that apart. And they say, you know, you have to be here 5 days a week, otherwise you're not really serving God. And you know, and you know, if you're here 5 days and we see that you're faithful, you know, then you know, then they give you that little carrot, they stick it in front of your face. And then, you know, and the real travesty is when people have a real calling, when they have a real gift from the Lord. And the Bible says that, you know, if somebody has a gift to teach, let them teach. If somebody has a gift to prophesy, let them prophesy. If somebody has a gift to encourage, let them encourage. But see, these men have put themselves in a place of Jesus, and they're controlling these people. They're determined when you can do this and when you can't do this. And they're becoming Jesus. They're becoming God.
These guys operate the same way his father, their father, operates. They do not play honestly. They play dirty. You see, they go behind the curtains. They don't give their faces, but they operate behind the curtains and teach the puppets. Careful, that guy in Portugal is dangerous. He's a rebel. Do not walk with them. Just that guy done is danger. Don't hear them. But then they come to the Pope and say, we must love each other. Everybody has opportunity. We are all brothers, you see. But I learned this in the church. If I could be one of them if I operate the same way. I was invited by a pastor. I was bringing people to the church because God has anointed me as an evangelist. I was being able, with the grace of God, to bring people to the church. And when I got people to the church, I was called behind the curtains by a deacon and the pastor. Basically, they were inviting me to tell them the secrets of the sheep, of the people that I was bringing. They were my friends. They were trusting in me. So it was my duty, according to their mind, that I should tell the pastor and the deacon that was the leader of the group where I was on the hierarchy, to tell all the secrets they were telling me. If they had problems at house, if they had problems with brothers, if they had problems with wives. And then they were going to the pulpit saying, God has shown us that there is a brother here that is this problem in house, posing as prophets of God, when basically what is operating there is murmuration.
Right. This is very common.
And
this is the same sort of thing
operate.
That I... Yeah, this is the same sort of
that's,
thing that I encountered too. Yeah,
see? So
this
could,
is the way the system works.
I could be a king and, on this... you could be a king on this realm, right? But this is not God's kingdom. Right. Just deception.
And the Lord wants us to cap free.
That's how these guys operate. See, I was having a great fellowship with Brother Marcos. But there was movement behind curtains, you see, when I start attacking the Titan's deception. These reptiles don't like to lose the wallets of their sheep. That's the truth. You see? But you see, even the Bible says that they were coming to make business with us. If the Bible in the New Testament, if all the apostles accept free offering, what were they warning us? If offerings to the church is okay, if selling everything to give to the poor is okay, what was they were warning us about business, if not the Titan's deception? Wake up, people.
Yeah, I love that one that you're talking about the apostles' feet is one of their famous ones that they like to use to debate things. And the thing is, they don't keep reading it in the scripture, because then people quickly learn something. They always take things out of context. No, and this is the thing that we have to be diligent to read. The Bible, people call the Bereans. And the Bereans went back and searched the scriptures to see if what was said was so. And we have to be diligent in these times. You know, but to the, you know, I mean, I really, you know, I want to see sisters free of this. Because when you walk in the freedom and don't have the yoke in on you, there's true peace and true joy.
Father, I think I lost you. I don't know if it was here or there, but I think I lost you. Yes, I lost you. Can you still hear me? Okay. Evan saying that she can hear me. So I guess let me just check here. I will try to bring you back. I guess it was there. Hold on. Okay. Can you hear me now again?
Yes, I can.
Okay. Okay, so you have 1 minute to hand your conclusion. Then if you want, we can make a second part of the show.
Hey, man, you know, I just want to encourage people that, you know, be willing to go if you're in that path, and maybe even if you're, you know, trust in the Lord, trust in Jesus, trust in his promises, trust in the word. You know, go seek the scripture for yourself. Go seek truth for yourself in the very scriptures. You know, the thing is that my hope is that people will be set free and be willing to go through that process, just like Paul, to go out into the desert. You know, John the Baptist was out in the desert. You know, this is where there men of God and women of God are formed. You know, we have to be willing to go out and some locusts, break off these religious mindsets and free us from this system, this Babylonic system that the Lord never intended, that we see so many people trapped in. And that's just my hope, is that's what they get out of it tonight, is that, you know, brothers and sisters will just look and search their own hearts and look around them and be willing to see things for what they are and trust the Lord, that the Lord does speak to you, that he is speaking to you, and that he is revealing truth. And don't let that confusion of a voice that tries to tell you that you can't speak up and you can't stand up what is right, because it goes back to the very scripture I shared where it says the Lord loves righteousness over sacrifice. And so stand for righteousness, stand for justice, and you'll be free in Jesus' name. And that's just my hope here, brothers, that our brothers and sisters will be free, and that the true ministry and the true gospel will get out, and that people will hear the gospel and they will experience the Lord and they'll be heaven their home for eternity. That's it, if I could sum it up.
Amen.
Amen. Thank
brother,
you, brother.
Thank you again for coming. You're always welcome. I'm willing to do another show, and God give you more things to share. Instead of putting one last song, I will end this show with an audio that I took from YouTube from a former Satanist, a bride of Satan. And I hope that this will awake you for the traps that you are consenting to yourself and to your family on fake mammon lovers Christian churches. God bless you all. We will see on the path. See you.
So this is basically tying into religious political initiatives, and he works closely with the Anglicans, the Knights of Malta, the Knights Templars, the Jesuits, that really are promoting this type of takeover of Israel, in a sense. And it also gets into some other things regarding the ordination of homosexuals as ministers, validating that is okay. Move into that a little bit and how this connects with occultism.
Yes, it is. I don't mean ordinations of homosexuals as ministers, priests, and bishops. And if one looks into the moral values of the Templars, they were not married. They loved little boys. No, the temple practiced solipsism, or what an occultist calls sex worship within Satanism. So there is going to be lots of sexual abuse. There's going to be a lot of phallicism, which is very sad. It's an abomination unto God. And the Baphomet is the idol of the Luciferians, and that is their idol. And the crimes of sodomy was a rite of the Templars' initiation, just like it is within the Illuminati, and within the Catholic Church and within Masonry at the 32nd and the 33rd degree. 33rd
mm-hmm.
degree, yeah. Evangelical Christians do not understand these end-time prophecies. Judging from their support for the Antichrist programs with millions of dollars in donations to ministers like Billy Graham, they do not understand that they are bringing in the Antichrist by supporting the ministry of these men. They do not realize this. They don't see it. And the sad thing about it is a lot of these Christians are paying tithes, but it's not going to go for God. It's going to be going for these. This money goes into the pot for the Illuminati. How else can I say it? Their money is funding the New World Order.